Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, it is 3-ish on Thursday afternoon, and that means it's time to meet your maker, the show where you meet the people who create the food you eat, the things behind it, the processes, the tools, the concepts. Before we introduce our first guest, I just wanted to quickly tell you that if you were listening before the show began, you heard Jack, the fine producer of Heritage Radio Network, tell you about some of the reporting they've been doing on Superstorm Sandy SSS. And if you haven't listened, it's amazing stuff. They're talking to people from all over the food world, people who store cheese, people who distribute food, giant companies. And just 10 minutes ago, Shane from Six Point was in here where they caught him where he was eating pizza with his dad. So you should listen up and hear a little bit about how people have been dealing with the storm. It's really interesting stuff. And on that note, if you like the sound of that, remember that you can become a member of Heritage Radio Network. That's the best way to make sure that radio is back. All right, so to introduce my guest, his name is Jonathan Swerdlin. Did I get that right, Jonathan?
You got it.
And he, along with his brother, founded a smartphone tablet app called FeedbackFDBK.com, which is an easy way, and he's going to tell you more about what it actually does, to collect feedback. Everything from if you went to a cooking competition, instead of having to fill out those flimsy slips of paper and waiting for them to tally up the answers, it could be done immediately, or if you get a comment card that you probably never use at a restaurant you really like or don't really like, you could fill it out that way. And most recently, he put together sandybaggers.org or .com. They both lead to the same place, a Facebook page, which is kind of like a clearinghouse for Sandy relief. And before we talk about both of those, I wanted to talk a little bit about Jonathan and how he came to do this. I was reading something he wrote on Forbes today where he calls himself a serial entrepreneur. So I was hoping you would explain what you meant by that. Well, and also how you became, you're like a young entrepreneur club, which is invite only. I don't know how old you are, but I want to hear about that too.
Well, I'm 30 years old.
Young?
Young.
You're born in the 80s, right?
It's true, 82.
Mm. Whoa. Okay, so tell me a little bit, why do you call yourself a serial entrepreneur? What have you entrepreneured?
Pretty simply, I've just done it a bunch of times. So, I mean, you can say serial, I think, once you've done it at least three times. And in my opinion, and also it's a way of thinking. If you're constantly looking at problems or you're looking at issues around the world and you're saying, maybe that could be done a little differently.
Uh-huh.
I believe that's what makes you an entrepreneur. It's looking at something and thinking, how can that be done differently? How can that be solved? An entrepreneur is constantly creating a new way of doing things, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. But so when you're a serial entrepreneur, it's someone who hasn't just thought like that once, but uh-huh. It's somebody who's been thinking like that over and over again. And I think what's a really important point to note is that an entrepreneur is also somebody who executes on that. It's somebody who sees those issues, sees those problems, finds what the solution is, or at least finds what they think the solution is, and then executes.
What was the first time you did that?
The first time I did it, I was about 8 years old.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't much of a problem. I grew up right off of a lake, and there was just nobody serving any drinks or anything like that. So my friend Josh Feldman and I started this little stupid snack food company that ended up being, you know, quasi-successful for eight-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And we were getting all these beverages like sodas and Nestes and those kind of things and snacks over to people that were just hanging out by the lake. And they, you know, people were pretty happy to get this stuff. It was actually a pretty decent service. There was a problem there.
Right.
There was nothing being served. And they were thirsty and they had to schlep everything from point A to point B.
And so, have you said that before?
No, that's the first time I've said that.
Pretty impressive. And this wasn't like, as me as an eight-year-old, I would have done that for about an hour and a half and then called it a day. Is this something that you did over for an entire summer or longer?
You know, I don't totally recall how long we had it for. We had a little sign we made up. It was going on at least this summer. We might have done it a couple summers.
That's impressive.
It lasted for a while. That was my first endeavor. And then in high school, I had a few different things going on. And I've always attacked things in a little different way, even outside of just businesses. I've always, just the way I've looked at schoolwork and different problems, I always have kind of done things a bit differently. And I think that's the entrepreneurial spirit.
You grew up in California?
No, I grew up in New Jersey, other California.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Because I know that you say you split your time between San Francisco and New York City. It's your brother's in...
Yeah, my brother, he's got an apartment out in San Francisco. So I spend several months of the year out there.
And what did you go to school for?
I went to the University of Maryland, and I went to school for finance and entrepreneurship. Not totally sure what I went to school for, though.
Right. What do they teach you in entrepreneurship?
You know,
I guess, can do anything. Right?
They try to teach you the things that it takes time to learn, like the hard facts, like venture finance, these kind of things. But you know, a lot of this goes in one ear, out the other. I think what you get out of that is you learn how to think a bit, and you also get pretty good connections with like-minded people. Hopefully, I mean, I think that's the goal of a lot of these college programs.
Tell me about the FD, you say feedback, FDBK.
Yeah, it's called feedback. It's called feedback. But
Feedback. So where did you see the need for this? Well, and I'm get your brother's the tech guy and you're the, no it's not that.
No, no, no. We have, there's a team of four founders. So, two tech and then two business side.
And you're both business, you and your brother.
Yeah, we're both on the business side. So I've had businesses in the past, and one of the most important things in every business is always just listening to your people and listening to your tribe and seeing what they're telling you. So reaching out and constantly saying, okay, you know, we provided this service, we provided this product. What did you think? And oftentimes they'll tell you exactly what you need to know. And it's tremendous how you can identify one issues and problems. And at the same time, you can identify opportunities. It came to be, I think, the most valuable resource in the business is simply just listening in any business. So that's a big practice for me in every business that I've started.
Right.
So I, it was a couple years ago, and I believe that mobile technology is so nascent. I think it's incredible what's about to happen.
Right.
We're on the precipice of an enormous, tidal wave of connectivity. I think we're going to be connecting, with the offline world through our phones all around us all the time, for better or worse.
Right.
And I want it to be for better. And I was looking at businesses and organizations, the way in which they connect with their people. And right now it's a little fragmented, but there's this huge opportunity. And the way we identify is like everybody has a computer in their pocket. So that's a really big opportunity to engage people in a way that's scalable, that's real time, that's visual, and that can be archived.
Right.
So I think that we make it really easy to scale the ability to listen.
So tell me, were you looking for something to do on a phone, or did this come to you the other way around?
Well, it's always a practice of mine has always been like get feedback.
Right. That's what I'm looking for. Tell me when you were like, oh, I got it. That's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what happened, it actually started in a restaurant. It started as just a restaurant idea, but we were going much more broad than that. I know, it's like with Twitter. If you said Twitter was just for restaurants, you'd be wrong. Twitter's really for any organization that wants to communicate out,
right, or
for
anything.
People that want to go peer to peer. Right. So it started with me. I was in a restaurant on 9th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue in the East Village. I'm not going to name any names here, but I had a pretty poor experience, and I had gotten great food in the past there. And I was thinking, you know, this is a shame because I don't know if I'm definitely going to go back there. So I talked to the manager, and the manager just really wasn't having it.
Right.
So I walked out, and frankly, I haven't been back. There's a lot of options in the East Village, obviously. And that was kind of a real shame. And it got me thinking, it's like, how are people, you know, and I had my cell phone, and I thought about Yelp, and I was like, should I Yelp them? That's stupid.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to bash them. I still like them. I just don't want to go eat there. And then it was
restaurateurs inherently, most of them hate Yelp. They hate all negative feedback given through Yelp. They don't take it seriously. A lot of people I know have stopped reading it because it just they can't bear to look at it.
Totally. And it's tough to look at. So that's how that started. And I started thinking, okay, what if there's a way that I could really quickly tell them what I thought on my phone without it blasting out on Yelp like that, or more of a communication line that's not a phone line and not talking to the manager, but goes from the user or the customer or a member of an organization out to the body that's responsible for decision making and strategy and those kind of things. And then I started thinking about restaurants, and I thought more broadly, and I thought about the organizations around us and municipalities. And you know, I think that we need to start listening to our customers in a way that we can sort of take our strategies and decisions and dovetail them with people's needs,
right?
And their people's reactions.
Well, give me an example.
A perfect example.
I could rate my park, or a municipality. So, rate my voting experience.
So rating's really cool, and it can go peer to peer. And in most cases, when people think of rating, they think peer to peer reviews. But rating kind of stops there. What if there was a way that people could actually ask questions to the people that would use that park, and then the municipality that runs that park can respond accordingly, either through response and saying, you know, we understand the issue that you had, or we're so glad that you love this flower bed,
right,
or something like that. That's lost in ratings. Ratings is peer-to-peer, and you can distill information from that, but it's not direct.
Right.
And what we're interested in is direct line of communication between a user or a customer or a member and the organization on the other side of that.
Right. So are most of the people who use it, do they ask specific questions, or is it more open-ended, or a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of both. We want to give people the platform to be able to speak their mind. Uh-huh. And at the same time, there are distinct questions that they want to be able to ask. And it's not just free text. It's also yes or no's, 1 through 5s. You can ask these kind of really distinct questions. And you can pull metrics from that. And that right. can help you look at your organization over a longer period of time.
So you built not only the... You had to build two things, like the database that keeps all this and collects it all. And it's like your little dashboard.
Yeah.
And can you do that from your phone too? I bet you can.
Yeah. We're going all mobile. Uh-huh. And our big focus is, so you have feedback on the front end where I'm going to share feedback, and then there's the person who's going to read feedback. And then we're even going further where people are going to be able to publish their feedback.
Right. That's what you were talking about this before we started the show, where people would be able to tweet their feedback.
Yeah. And we connect. Uh-huh. And here's the tagline that we give to people is we reimagine feedback as mobile, social, and easily rewarded. So the idea is this act of giving feedback, we think there's a lot more dimensions that it can unlock a deeper meaning. It's a deeper engagement. And so what that means is it's mobile in the sense that it's on your mobile phone. It's real time. It's
right.
happening on the spot. It's social in the sense that we tie social media to it.
Uh-huh.
So you can quickly turn that feedback into shareable social media content.
Shareable social media content, meaning you could put it on Facebook or
Absolutely.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Instagram.
You can,
yeah. Wait, so because I met you at the Vendee's. This is where you start. And
right.
were they actually the Vendee's for people who are not in New York City or Philadelphia where it's been held, or it's a food truck competition. So you get to vote on your favorite food truck. So were they actually using it? Feedback for their to tally
feedback
to
just
tally
like the
results.
Feedback, exactly.
I like feedback. It's really funny.
Feedback.
Were they
it
actually
a bit
using
like
it?
My grandmother from Eastern Europe. Kind of works.
Was she really from Eastern Europe?
Yeah, my grandmother was from Eastern Europe.
See, that's like also as a joke. I think the next time I have a dinner party, I'm gonna make everybody download feedback.com and like like instantly rate my dinner. You could do that.
Oh, and by the way, you should know it's mobile web app, so actually you don't have to download anything.
Oh, right. That's also key.
Yeah, we don't want to have.
You can scan like whatever those little doohickeys are called.
QR codes.
Yeah, QR codes, and it'll come right up.
The strange little square barcodes, right?
I need to get more into those. I never use them. I can even get a business card with one on there. I was thinking, because if you go to like about.com, you do?
I do.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
People are still using QR codes.
It's here and there. Some people live by them. They love them. I'm starting to appreciate the aesthetic a little bit more in some strange way. Mm-hmm. I think they're interesting. And as the phone advances, you can do more actions with them.
Well, so, going straight to a website is actually useful enough as it is. Oh, right. So that's actually a very important point. You don't have to download an app. You just go straight. It's through Safari browser.
Yes, through whatever browser you have. You can go as long as you have really. And BlackBerry's, it's kind of weird because the browser's not so great on those. Uh-huh. But on anything Android or iOS.
Absolutely. So at the Vendee's, did they take in the people use it?
Yeah, great. So the Vendee's was awesome. Mm-hmm. So Vendee's had like about 1,400 people come. And out of those 1,400 people, we had over 600 people use feedback. Which is tremendous, tremendous results. So in this case, they use feedback as a way to also get voting.
Uh-huh.
So people vote. So the Vendee Awards are food truck awards. And a lot of people voted via their mobile phone for their favorite food truck. So in the process of voting, they said, okay, here's a great opportunity. We're getting people to vote. Why don't we also ask them a few questions? And why don't we get them on social media? So what they did is they had a quick voting. You know, you could just pick whichever food truck is your favorite, uh-huh, in a few different categories. And then they asked, you know, how did you get here? Are you interested in volunteering? If so, share your email address here. And what did you love about the Vendees? And then on top of it, we made it with just one click. People could blast it out on Facebook what, uh-huh, they loved about the Vendees. At the same time, everything was delivered to a dashboard in real time.
Right.
Dashboard's huge. They identified dozens of people that would be willing to volunteer.
Uh-huh.
They got hundreds of email addresses that people just wanted to be on the mailing
list. As opposed to before, a giant stack of paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty cool, actually.
And a giant stack of paper at a food truck competition get kind of gross.
Yes.
So,
we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear more about feedback, but also your philanthropical endeavors. All right. Two minutes more from here. Meet your maker.
Great.
Grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hello, welcome back to Meet Your Maker. I'm your host, Rachel Wharton. I am joined by my co-host, John Taggart, who's also the co-author of our wonderful theme song. And my guest today is Jonathan Swerdlund. I'm practicing saying his last name, who is a serial entrepreneur. His main business these days is feedback.com. It's FDBK.com, which is, as he's been telling us, is a way to take in information from people using their smartphones. And we were talking a little bit about that. And was there anything, you were basically schooling us on how it was used at the Vendees, which I think, and to be honest, see, like, I until very recently was the deputy editor at Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, and we always have these events, and I swear we would try and get some feedback from people, and we'd struggle with how to do it. I swear to God, we actually had people put dots on a poster board one year, and what was really interesting is we had these poster boards, we would have a bunch of anecdotal data, but we actually really, really could use, and I still work with them all the time, so I'm going to suggest we could really use this kind of thing, because you just can gather information so quickly, and then you also get their email addresses, which is like the holy grail of running any business these days, is capturing someone's email address. Because the feedback, what's especially interesting is when you ask a question that we were often asking about their spending habits. And then it turns out the most important piece of feedback we could have gotten, I'm babbling here, was that they didn't even know that Edible was a magazine. They thought we were an event company. So that's how important feedback can be. It can totally change your outlook on your business. But now your other business, which is philanthropical, is sandybaggers.org, which goes to a Facebook page, which is a genius name. too bad it's just one hurricane. Hopefully you get to keep using that. So tell us a little bit about how that came to be and how it works.
Well, it's so everybody's way familiar with Sandy by now. So it was, I guess it was Wednesday of last week. It feels like 2 years
right.
ago.
Yeah, it does. That's because there's been a minor storm Athena in the meantime.
It's pretty funny they named this one.
Yeah, I think they're going to start doing it.
It pushes media commercials. Yeah. So it started out. I got a text message from a lot of my friends that some of their businesses were sort of destroyed. Uh-huh. One of the businesses was Uhuru, and they had lost a lot of inventory. Uhuru Design.
Okay.
They have a shop and a showroom out in Red Hook.
Okay.
And they had lost a lot of inventory, and I started seeing that there's a lot of businesses that were destroyed, and I started thinking to myself, like, God, we have to all kind of come together here. This is a real disaster in New York City. I don't own a television. I enjoy not having that television. Right. So I don't think I totally got the full gravity, and I started hearing about all these stories. And then so I was talking to some friends of mine, and we brainstormed, and we're like, you know what? We got to get people moving. We got to get people working. Our friends needed a lot of like physical help to get their showroom together. I realized that a lot of people do, a lot of my friends. So I reached out to some very close friends of mine, Divya Kapazi, Matt Kochman, Antonia Dunbar, Daniel
Husserl. That's for you three, I'm sure. He just listed out your names. I hope you're listening because you did it so nicely.
It's true. It's a shout out. I love you guys. So reached out, and so we had a quick call. We're like, let's just get on a conference call. Let's see what's what. So we got on a conference call, and we're like, you know what? We want to galvanize volunteers. We put our names in the Red Cross to help, and we didn't get any response from Red Cross. We're like, okay, we got to go out there. I don't even begin to know where to go. I don't know where to go, what to do.
Right. I had the same problem.
And that's what we were hearing from everybody. Everybody had this big problem. Like, what do I do now?
Right.
And so we're like, you know what? Let's just start a Facebook page. And at first it was NYC versus Sandy.
Uh-huh.
And we were going to make it like the fight of a lifetime sort of thing. And then we started talking about more about the group and what the group is. And then Sandy Baggers came up. I think Matt Kochman was the one who came up with that and got this funky logo too. And so we put the Facebook page together, and we didn't really know what it was going to be. We just thought, let's create a hub where people can meet and talk about different opportunities to go help. And we put it out there, and within just a few hours, people started really liking it. People latched on, and people were like, okay, what do I do? Awesome. So that was like Wednesday or Thursday. I think we launched on Thursday. Friday, we were like, you know what? Let's just do one thing. Let's go out to Staten Island. Let's bring a group of people out to Staten Island and see what's what. We'll send somebody else out to Red Hook. We have friends that were in city council. We use our networks to get people to get galvanized. And
so how are you collecting? I mean, so are you having anyone who needs help just post things to your site, or how is it becoming like this clearinghouse of information?
Well, what's amazing is there's such a tremendous need for help, and there's so many people who don't know how to help, but at the same time, there's so many people that need help. And so a lot of people are coming to Sandy Baggers and saying, you know, okay, how do I help? And then there's also a whole lot of organizations saying that we need volunteers.
Right.
And Sandy Baggers has become the movement, the social media response to Sandy. And really quickly,
because it's open, anyone can talk on it.
Exactly. Right. It's not just a message board though. Anybody can talk on it, but it's also become a hub where if somebody wants to know where to go, we'll have the answer. And that's kind of the idea. So we're very, very lightly organizing these events. And essentially by organizing, all it's saying is here's a time and a place to meet, and this is where we're going. So we've teamed up with a lot of initiatives that are on the ground. That was pretty easy to do because they needed a lot of help.
Right.
And we've been delivering volunteers. So last weekend, on Saturday and Sunday, we delivered several hundred volunteers coming from all over the place. A lot of them met in Union Square and then went down to Staten Island and Far Rockaway. And then we also delivered thousands of pounds of materials down to these places as well. And now we have well over 1,000 likes. We have people buzzing about us. We got articles in Forbes, Huffington Post, Fast Company, VentureBeat, on and on. And we're just becoming sort of, we look at it, we're a movement, and we are a social network sort of built around a disaster response. And it's something that I haven't seen before, but it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
It's a way to sort of, a movement to cut that red tape.
Well, also, because even, I mean, just because I was stuck in Europe, I know stuck, scare quotes around that. I was stuck in Europe for most of Sandy, and by the time I came back, I woke up, it was Sunday, and I was trying to figure out what on earth, like all the volunteer groups had already left for wherever they were going by 11 on Sunday. And you read a blog for whatever initiative that's trying, you could tell that it had been updated like 2 days before, and then you start, and they say they need this, and then the people are like, please bring clothes, and it's like, no more clothes, and it's like, please bring garbage bags, no more garbage bags, we've got too many garbage bags. So it was really hard to tell. I feel like even like a day later, it was all way out of date, but like Facebook was like, everyone, you could ask and you could get an answer. And my next question is, how do you see this? How do you see, like, what, a cold, hard, crappy question. So as a business person, a serial entrepreneur, what did Sandy Beckers, what has it taught you? What are you thinking from this experience?
Well, what we're thinking of is how can we blueprint a people-powered social movement, right? Centered around immediate, local, and effective disaster response. So we think there's a tremendous opportunity. This goes back even to the feedback thing. It's this idea of connectivity. Now we're really, right. We've created this hub. How can we connect over different types of engagement? And in this instance, we think Sandy Baggers is an awesome social media response to a disaster. And it's certainly, social media has been responsible for dictating the trajectory of a lot of different things over the past 3 years that have been prolific in history. And I think that now we're starting to realize that what social media is it just reflecting the consciousness of the people. And people need to be able to have a place to meet on that and at the same time create a response on that same medium.
Right.
And so what we're trying to do is create that hub. We're not trying to do it, but it's happening. It's
right.
That's a funny thing is we're not trying to do anything. We're just putting it out there and people are coming to it, which shows there's just a real need here.
Do you have to manage it in any way at this point? Or is it just going all by itself?
Oh, it's definitely not going all by itself. Uh-huh. So all of us, I myself included, we've gotten no sleep. we've literally, like, since Sandy's hit, we've put everything not to the side completely, but we've been spending at least 12 to 14 hours on Sandy related things each day. It's fantastic though. And Sandy Baggers has taken a life of its own. We have to manage the community. We have to make sure the initiatives on the ground
are real
and that people are having those positive experiences and getting feedback from the people that go down there and learning and finding out what they learned. The situation is very fluid down there.
Right.
So we have to constantly stay up to date with that. We have our biggest push coming on Saturday.
That was my next question is, do you know off the top of your head what are some things coming up people can do?
Well, this is pretty awesome. Uh-huh. So first, I'm just going to plug it. Uh-huh. Facebook.com/Sandy Baggers, uh-huh. One word.
You can also hit, if you go, I've tested it, if you go to sandybaggers.com or sandybaggers.org, it goes right to that page.
Exactly. And we are not, all we are is a Facebook page in terms of our presence. So our big push, and this is really important, everybody, uh-huh. is on Saturday, we're going to have several buses and we're going to be bringing people down to Rockaway and potentially Staten Island to go do some really, really, really necessary volunteer work.
That's Saturday?
This is this Saturday, okay. And we're going to be picking people up. Right now, it looks like it's going to be at the Soho Grand Hotel.
Okay.
And I should also add to this. So we partnered up with Charity Water the Soho Grand Hotel. We have a drop-off spot over there. We have over 1,000 square feet of drop-off space. So if you have cleaning supplies, batteries, flashlights, blankets, tarps, anything like that, go to the Soho Grand Hotel.
Uh-huh.
That's on West Broadway between Canal and Grand.
And take it there.
And then if you're going to do that in the morning on Saturday and then join us and then go pitch in.
What time are you actually leaving on Saturday?
Good question. We're talking about...
If you look on the Facebook page, it'll be on there.
If you look on the Facebook page, you'll get on there. And plus, we need you to RSVP so we have a good idea who's coming. And just so we can get everybody's information so we can coordinate. So please,
people aren't going to use feedback to... Are you using it?
Yeah, we're using feedback.
You are, right?
Yeah.
Did Soho Grand find you through the Facebook page? How did you get
there? No, it's just through what we are is a group of friends and we have such vast networks. So we've been able to sort of like leverage these networks in all these different spaces. Mm-hmm. for example, all of us have been meeting at a place called Slice, which is an awesome pizza restaurant in the West Village. I'm plugging that too. That's for you, Mickey. But it's just a farm, and the reason why I really plug it is because she was hit. She lost all of her inventory during Sandy. She's a small business. It's farm to table pizza, and everything is fresh. So it was very hard for her to get a lot of fresh ingredients. So she's had to pay a lot of high prices to get fresh ingredients, and on top of it, she lost a lot of business. So, for instance, we're meeting over there, and
if people have businesses or neighborhoods or whatever, and they need help, they should just start talking on your Facebook page.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Here's the deal. If you have a business that's been pretty hard hit, actually, you should be talking with FEMA because they can give you some money back. That's the very first thing you should be doing. And then reach out to your networks. A lot of people are saying, I want to support small businesses that have been hit. So reach out to your networks. Get involved with Sandy Baggers and learn the community. The community here is really for everybody. Right. This isn't, nobody owns this. This is a movement. This is not an organization.
Oh, so we're almost out of time. So I feel like we should go over, what did we learn today? If you are interested in a place to help for Sandy, sandybaggers.org.com or Facebook/.
Yeah, and a big event. So drop stuff off. And then afterwards, we're having a party at the Standard. It's an after party for everybody that comes and volunteers.
Oh, cool.
So Saturday night.
You have to be dirty to attend.
Exactly. You have to have your Sandy bag with you. You'll get that later. And
And last but not least, your other business, which is feedback, fdbk.com. Right. Take a look at that. It's pretty interesting, at least to someone who has to get feedback from time to time. And thank you.
And Rachel, is the app free?
Well, that's a good question.
It's a mobile web app, and free it is.
Gotcha. For those of us who, the business probably has to pay for it.
Right now, we're actually giving it away for free. So if you're a business and you want to get in early, check us out.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us on Meet Your Maker. See
thank
you guys
so much for having us.
Next week.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.